Good morning, everyone. Okay, let's just stipulate, as card-carrying members of the headline-obsessed media, as we are, so
right,
that it is possible, even likely, that the current focus on airline security may actually blow over in time after that Christmas attempted bombing in Detroit, that we'll return to something resembling normal at airports around the world. Still, it's a little hard to imagine right now, when for the time being, as the president said yesterday at the White House, it's going to be...
Immediately after the attack, I ordered concrete steps to protect the American people. New screening and security for all flights, domestic and international. More explosive detection teams at airports. More air marshals on flights. And deepening cooperation with international partners.
More this, more checks, more explosive detection teams. These are not the good old days of air travel. And for a taste of that, you'd have to go back to 1958.
Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard the spacious cabin, attractively decorated, air-conditioned but draft-free. A new concept in air transportation. The travail has been taken out of travel.
That's a commercial for the airline Pan Am, which doesn't even exist anymore. Gone like the old mythology of air travel. In light of terrorism, security, all the latest headlines, even rising fuel prices, where is this all going? Certainly no better person to have that conversation with than Robert Crandall, who rejoins us, former CEO of American Airlines, led the company for 18 years in the 80s and 90s, a legend within the industry. Robert Crandall, good morning once again.
Good morning.
Let's take this in three big pieces. There's the security piece, there's the sort of technology piece, and then there's a sort of whole business model of the airline industry. Let's take security first. With planes getting bigger and bigger, even if they are more fuel efficient, they're more and more a target for people like this fellow from Nigeria.
Well, that's true, John, and that's inevitable. And the problem is we live in a world populated by indescribably evil people who want to blow up airplanes. So we're going to have to do the best we can to do two things. On the one hand, establish very stringent levels of security, and on the other hand, be careful that we don't make it so difficult and so unpleasant to travel that everybody simply decides to stay home.
Well, let's go directly into that. I mean, is there a threshold out there? I mean, the incident at Newark Airport. Did you read about that this week?
I read about the incident at Newark, and it seems to me, John, that there are several words to keep in mind. I think the public is prepared to deal with security which is sensible, which is efficient, and which is consistent. Now, to have cameras at exit doors to prevent people from walking through and then find out after the fact that those cameras are not turned on and therefore we cannot find the person who went into the secured area is a dramatic inefficiency, and it's unacceptable. And that kind of thing has got to end. You cannot have a 7-hour hiatus of all activity at a major airport. You can't get everybody off the airplanes. Everybody's already through security. Take them outside, run them all through again, and expect the public to tolerate that. They're not going to tolerate it.
Well, I think that is completely clear, but is there a technological fix? I mean, you've got now, no matter what...
That's not a technological fix. That's a simple fix of people doing what they are expected to do and paid to do. Turn the cameras on.
Totally understand that. But pulling back, I mean, you've got a situation where no matter how much you improve the customer service on the plane, the in-flight experience on the airplane, if the situation is deteriorating at the airport, you can't improve that experience for the customer.
No, I agree with that. But I think what you can do is you can run the airport in an efficient and consistent way. You can be sure that the cameras are always turned on. You can be sure that the one-way doors function so that people can't get through security. You can have consistent TSA procedures. I mean, I'll go to an airport one day, and they say to me, first they look at my boarding pass, and then when I go through the X-ray machine, they want to see it again. The next day, they don't want to see the boarding pass when I go through the X-ray machine. That's not acceptable.
So are you frustrated with the lack of coordination in airline security around the world, and would you support some sort of United Nations or international protocol to standardize this across the world and possibly money to pay for it?
Well, of course. The fact of the matter is, look, we are spending vast amounts. The problem is, look, we've got several databases. For some strange reason, the various intelligence agencies of the U.S. government can't seem to coordinate their collaboration so that those databases are used in an integrated way. We know that this guy, this Detroit guy, was in those databases. We know that the U.K. revoked his visa. He should never have gotten on the airplane.
And
now, that's just inefficiency, John. And instead of ranting and raving and putting in additional and nonsensical things like not letting people get up in the last hour of the flight and taking away their blankets, what we need to focus on is getting people to do their jobs.
All right, let's talk about the business model before we go then. China, which is the biggest buyer of airplanes, is apparently going to spend $300 billion on high-speed rail links between places that were traditionally air links, like Beijing, Shanghai. It seems to me we're headed towards disincentives for growing the airline business and incentives for growing everything else.
Well, John, I don't think that's going to work. The United States has allowed its infrastructure, including its rail infrastructure, to erode over many, many years. In fact, the Congress, as recently as 2 weeks ago, is unable to pass long-term transportation funding. We're not going to have high-speed trains in this country for many, many years, if ever. So the point is, if we want to move around the United States, if we want to deny the terrorists victory, then what we've got to do is we've got to go ahead and do things like full body scanning. We've got to say to the TSA, there isn't enough money. There aren't enough people to apply the same levels of security to everybody. Let's profile against those people most likely to be a threat. Let's be sure that the intelligence agencies properly coordinate their databases. Let's be sensible, let's be efficient, let's be consistent, and let's make it possible for people to travel by air without a giant hassle.
Robert Crandall, do you fly commercial?
Sure.
And when was the last time?
About 2 weeks ago.
And you're ready to get electronically naked in a body scan next time you get on a plane?
John, I've never been that proud of the old bod, unfortunately, no matter how hard I try to keep it in shape.
Robert Crandall, former president and chairman of American Airlines, talking about the future of the airline business in a troubled week for the airline industry. Thank you, Mr. Crandall.
You're welcome, my friend.
All right, at 15 minutes past.